So we talked a little bit about Thoreau. We talked about the background. We talked about what's going on in the world at the time of Thoreau and what's going on in America during Thoreau. We also talked about how important Thoreau is in Western literature and culture because he influenced Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King, John F. Kennedy, and some writers, including Russian writer Leo Tolstoy, who the students actually knew wrote War and Peace. He also influenced William Butler Yeats and Ernest Hemingway, two authors that we'll be reading later this semester. And we talked about why Thoreau went into the woods. So for the rest of my class, I wanted to talk about Thoreau's essay reading. His essay reading is one of many essays in his book, Walden. There are many essays about with titles such as Economy, Where I Lived and What I Lived For, Sound, Solitude. He has essays on the bean field, the village, the ponds, higher laws, and many of these essays are about nature and living the simple life and how to simplify your life. In essence, Walden is a manual for learning self-reliance and independent living. So before I began talking about reading, I wanted to explain to my students the reasoning behind assigning such a difficult text right off the bat. First of all, this essay reading is going to frame the rest of the course. Thoreau tells us why we should read. And that's just one of the questions I want students to ask when we read these texts throughout the semester. Are these books, are these stories and texts we're reading classics? And if so, what makes them a classic? Should we continue to teach these same books later on? Should we teach these same texts to students in the future? And what makes a classic in the first place? Why is something a classic as compared to, say, something that's popular that might be read once and then forgotten and never read or published again? So we talked about reading. We actually only went over a couple of the passages. It's quite dense. And I told the students that, well, first of all, when I was an English major, I had to read Walden too. We didn't just read one essay. We read several over the course of a couple weeks. And even as a native speaker of English and a literature major, I could say that I did not understand half of what he said. But then a couple years later, I read Thoreau again. And then I understood maybe 65% of it. And now it's been several years since I last read Walden. And when I read reading for this class, I understood maybe 75% of it. So this is an ongoing journey. This is a process. It's impossible, even for American English majors with a lot of experience, to completely understand Thoreau. In fact, not many Americans understand him at all. They only know of Thoreau from a couple famous quotations that are printed in calendars or holiday cards. Very few Americans ever read Thoreau, and fewer still understand him. So I asked the students if they understood this passage, this essay. I asked if anybody enjoyed it, and nobody raised their hand. I asked if anybody finished it, and half the class raised their hand. And I asked if anybody just gave up, if they found the text too inconvenient or too hard. And a couple people raised their hand with that. So for the people who actually read it all, I asked them if they understood it, and they didn't. And I said, that's okay. And I said, you know, this is our journey. We're all going and working on this together. That this is the first mountain, our first threshold to cross together. So for those of us who actually finished and worked at it, you have my respect. And for those of us who've actually tried and made an attempt but couldn't finish it, you have my sympathy. And here's one of the main reasons why I assigned this. You know, life is not a final exam. Life is not a multiple choice exam. And in one way, you could really assess yourself. You could assess where you are in your learning and competency by reading Thoreau. So today, Thoreau was very, very difficult. It's my job to help these students become better English majors, and I say that if they just come to class, do the readings, and participate, that by the end of the semester, if they read this again, they will be able to read and understand at least 25% of it, which is 25% more than they knew now. And if they return to Thoreau a year from now, then they might even understand 50% of it. And perhaps years and years from now, when they've forgotten this crazy American English teacher, and maybe something in society or their culture or their environment may remind them of Thoreau for some reason, they might want to return to Thoreau and read him again. And maybe they'll understand him a whole lot more, maybe even as much as 75%. But to ever expect to completely know and understand Thoreau is a Herculean task. So with that preface, we talked about reading. I had them turn to one of the second pages, and we went over, I taught them how to decipher the text, or close read the text. So, and I teach the students that when you read a book, you know, read at a normal pace, but also keep an eye out for something that looks important. A lot of these texts that are classics have important passages, and with practice, these passages become easier and easier to spot. So we talked about one important passage that caught my eye, and this is maybe the fourth paragraph in his essay, Walden. Midway through the paragraph, it's the paragraph that starts, "The student may read Homo Aeschylus in Greek without danger of dissipation of luxuriousness, for it implies that he, in some measure, blah, 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 blah." As you can see, this is a complicated text. We're going to skip down to the middle of that paragraph where it says, "Men sometimes speak as if the study of the classics would at length make way for more modern and practical studies. But the adventurous student," these are my students, "the adventurous student will study classics in whatever language that they may be written and however ancient they may be. For what are the classics but the noblest recorded thoughts of man?" So we spent a good couple minutes just breaking this essentially two sentences down. And you could break it down by asking questions about it. For instance, what does Thoreau mean by modern or practical studies, as opposed to, say, the classics that he refers to in that first sentence? What is an adventurous student? Why should adventurous students study classics? I asked a class what are modern practical studies, and they were able to pick that up, and they realized that he's referring to the studies of vocation, job training, stuff like becoming an electrician or a technologist or a computer science major. These are great jobs to have if you want to make money, but unfortunately what you study in these jobs will become obsolete in the years to come. And they don't really prepare you for the humanities. They don't prepare you for critical thinking or creativity. They just teach you a skill. Now he's referring to the classics. And what are the classics? Well, we're reading one. And what makes a classic a classic? Perhaps a classic, as you can see already, is something that you can read and you'll have it forever. And you can read again and you'll be rewarded with some new meanings. You'll learn something new every time you read it. You can read it several times for the rest of your life, and each and every time you read a classic, you'll learn something new, whether it's about yourself or the story itself, or you might gain some new kind of insight into the text, the author, society, or the story itself. And that is probably what a classic is, or at least one definition is. This is opposed to, say, popular works, which you read, you consume, and then you forget about. It's an escape, it's pleasurable, but at least you're reading, and then you set aside the book. You probably will never read the book again. Yeah, and then, you know, one student's question was, you know, Thoreau's talking about reading all the classics in Greek and Latin, and why is that necessary? You know, that's a good point. Many of us nowadays don't read the Greek and Roman classics, their original language. And that's because there's a lot of great translations now available to us. But back in Thoreau's time, in the 1850s, good translations were very hard to come by. In fact, there were probably hardly any good translations of Homer or the Ovid or any of the Greek and Roman classics. So that's why Thoreau's saying, oh, if you really want to suck the marrow out of life and read the classics, you have to read them in their original language. So that's just perhaps an artifact of the times. So reading is essentially about 6-7 pages long, but we only went over one little paragraph, or just rather three sentences out of that entire text. I told the students that we could talk about Thoreau, this essay, for hours. But basically, it gives Thoreau's opinions about why people should read. We should read the classics more often. And this is a common theme throughout much of his work, especially Walden, that people should read the classics and spend more time with the classics. This will make us better people and better citizens. And I told the class that we'll be seeing Thoreau again in the future, maybe this semester or maybe next semester. But it'll be a good way to gauge where you are in your proficiency and your competency in reading English literature.